first of all, for the introduction to what I have in my heart, to the 15th chapter of Romans and the 13th verse. Before we read that verse, and you're certainly at liberty to read it to yourselves, but before we read it publicly, I'd like to give three particular verses that will form the substance of our little talk together this afternoon. The first one is an expression in this verse that says, joy and peace in believing. The second one, and we'll turn to it later, is in the 119th Psalm. It's the verse that says, 119th Psalm in the 63rd verse, companions of all them that trust in Thee. And the third one is in 2 Timothy that says, continue thou. So the thesis that I would like to develop this afternoon is that for you and for me as believers, whether we're young or middle-aged or older, that we might have what God desires, joy and peace in believing. And the second is, in connection with companionship in this weary world, which is so very important, whether it's as a single or whether it's as a married person, that I'm the companion of all them that trust in Thee. And then for the continuance and encouragement is, continue thou in the things which thou hast heard and hast been assured of. Continuance. And so now let's read Romans 15 and verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. We had this morning, in connection with believing, faith. Now God is the God of hope, and He wants us to have joy and peace in believing. Let's turn, in connection with that aspect of things, to the fourth chapter of Philippians, and there we'll find a practical way in which God wants us to have the peace of God. Now, there is the peace with God, and we know that that's a verse that's in the book of Romans. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But this is the peace of God. Now, let's notice the connection that it leads into that thought in Philippians 4 and verse 6. Take the liberty of paraphrasing or giving what is the substance of the J&D translation. Be full of care about nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace with God, you and I, except for being a sinner and accepting the gift of faith from God, had nothing to do with. It's not dependent upon a state of soul, except as we came as sinners to God. That's the peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And now the peace of God. To think of the desire of the heart of God towards His children, that each one of us, until we get to the glory, that we have the peace of God in our souls. And as young people, it's not a question. As someone has rightly said, there may be gift for giving out the word, but there is no gift for taking it in. And there is no gift in connection with having what God desires for each and every one of us, the God of peace, or the peace of God. Now notice it's the result of being full of care about nothing. And you know, there's a little cliche, and I don't mean it in a humorous way, but it may hit us that way. The world says it pays to worry, because most of the things we worry about never come to pass. But that is not Christianity. It's not a question of not worrying about something because it's not going to come to pass. Here we have, be full of care about nothing. Maybe you're like I am. I can go to sleep no matter what's on my mind, but about a quarter after 2 a.m, there was no dog barking down the street. There was no loud noise in the house. There was no traffic by the front of the house. There was no loud horn, but I woke up. And I know why. It's because I went to bed with something that was on my mind that I had not settled in prayer and dependence upon the Lord. Two attributes that are so important for the Christian is obedience and dependence. And it came over me recently that if there's any advantage in health or wealth or situations or circumstances that comes into my life that reduces obedience and dependence upon God, I have been the loser. Now, that doesn't mean that if there's a favorable circumstance that we ask God to take it away. Just because we have a favorable circumstance in the manner of life or the assets that we gain, it doesn't mean that we have to lose obedience and dependence upon the one that provided it. But if it does result in that, a lessening of obedience or dependence, you and I have been the loser. And the loser indeed we are. Be full of care about nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. A little human interest story. A young person is concerned because someone that they were interested in, they thought, sure, they'd get a letter from that individual. So they talk about it to their father, and the father says, let's pray about it. So the father and the daughter get down and they pray. And you can imagine the words, they're simple, they're to the point. We're talking to the blessed Lord about a young person's life and involvement with another young person. That's a simple prayer. What happens? The next day, the letter that they had hoped for comes in the mail. That young couple today have 5 children. They obviously, their hearts met. There was a proposal made. The young lady accepted. And they were made one in holy matrimony. And the results of it have been a blessing to the local assembly where they are, and to the family, and to all the family members. Be full of care about nothing. Is that a circumstance in a young person's life today? You may not need your father to kneel down with you or your mother, but how important that if there is something that's on your heart, it's also on his. And he wants, like the parents of Moses and Miriam and Aaron, a man of Levi took to wife a daughter of Levi. There is no blessing that God intended for his children in connection with another believer like man and wife that are one in the things of the Lord and one in connection with the assembly. You, most of you that are young, were raised as I was. Never gave it a contrary thought. If it was Tuesday night, that was the meeting night. If it was Thursday night, that was the meeting night. If it was Lord's Day, I wanted to avoid it by calling it Sunday. But when you call it Lord's Day, it brings it into a perspective that reduces it to 0 degrees of freedom. Fancy word that's used in connection with science. Degrees of freedom. And when once the heart has been in the enjoyment of what the Lord wants to give us in joy and peace, there's 0 degrees of freedom. We simply, that is the way that life is. And many young people here are being raised by parents that desire that not only are they saved, but that they go on and go on in a way that is more for the Lord's glory and sooner in their life than with themselves as parents. And I'm sure that parents are saying, adding one word to what I've said, and that's amen. Amen. Now, be full of care about nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. The purchase of a new car. The purchase of this or that. These are things that enter into everyday life for young people. Do they not enter into everyday life for me or for others? Of course. But let it be the result of prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, and your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God. There are examples in Scripture where the Gibeonites were accepted, and it mentions specifically that there was no prayer in connection with it. Can you trace back, as unfortunately I can, that there were circumstances concerning which there was no prayer? And you know, it's so merciful of God to us as His children that He winnows our pathway and He brings us to a position of saying, "Oh, blessed Lord, I didn't pray about it." But notice what the result of prayer is: the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. One step further. 9th verse. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. I would like to express what I feel to be the desire of every believer's heart here this afternoon, an exercise. When the Lord comes, we're going to go up and we're going to be with Him and we're going to thank Him. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. But I believe that if I have, and I'm sure it's true of every one of us, if we have any tinge of regret, disappointment, it's going to be that I didn't enjoy individually the presence of the Lord. And that leads me into our second subject, and let's turn to it in Psalms 119 and verse 63, companionship. And while you're turning, I'll start to read it, but it's Psalms 119 and verse 63. I am a companion of all them that fear Thee and of them that keep Thy precepts. Companionship, the type of companionship that we enjoy, is in great measure an indication of where we are in our enjoyment of the things of God. To think of having, first of all, and ultimately, a desire to be a companion of the blessed Lord, and to have the Lord be a companion of us. You know, it's a good habit to cultivate talking with the blessed Lord. And of course, you think of prayer, of getting down on our knees, or we're walking along and we can talk to the Lord in prayer. But there's more than that. More than that. Oh, a friend unfailing, how dear art thou to me. To think of going on a whole week and not talking to your closest friend. You'd say, Brother Stan, that friend isn't very close, because it's dialogue that makes for is conversation. Monologue is not conversation. And it's a remarkable thing in the Old Testament that there's no dialogue between Abraham and Lot. And I've looked it up. There is no dialogue. There's a monologue. Abraham talked to Lot, but that's only a monologue. Dialogue is where two people are talking back and forth. There's not one recorded word that Lot ever said to Abraham. Was there fellowship? You say, brother, no, there wasn't. There was no fellowship really between Abraham and Lot. And so there's no fellowship between ourselves and the blessed Lord unless we talk with Him. And you know, what do we talk about? I'm not going to dictate to you, but oh, to think of the multitude of things, the things that concern me, the things that are my joy, the things that He has brought me into the good of. We don't have to wait until the Lord's Day morning to thank Him for dying on the cross. I can do that. And if any of you that are sisters, we respect and obey what the Word of God says about sisters in the assembly. But oh, to think of how full a subject it would be in itself for the sisters to see the part that the female has in the ways of God. Beautiful, beautiful. Now, companions of all them that fear Thee. Let's go back to the Gospel of Luke. And I know that it can be taken and probably should be taken as husband and wife there, but it doesn't really say that. But it's greatly implied. Now notice what the Lord talked to them about. Here were two individuals that were walking away from the divine center of that day. They were in doubt as to what the Messiah that they had hoped, because He said that Christ would have accomplished. But now notice, in the 27th verse, this is the encouragement that the Lord gave to them, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. No wonder they later said in the 32nd verse, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way? So if you have a companion, there's a multitude of things to talk about with two that get along, two girls, two boys, boy and girl. But to think of the happiness of having a companion that addresses the need and the desire of your heart, like the blessed Lord did for them. And you know, He was known of them in the breaking of bread. Could we overemphasize the importance of honoring the Lord and the privilege of remembering Him? Companion. Companion. I'd like to share a meditation that I've had recently in connection with the practice of compromise. Compromise. Now, this may not be from the dictionary, may not be from a manual of management, but it's pretty close to what I think a compromise is. A compromise is a position that two somewhat apparently opposing parties take so that they can be on a ground of mutual acceptability. We'll make it simpler. two opposing parties, organizations or individuals, they each give in a little bit so that they can meet a middle ground so that there's compatibility of behavior in a certain path. I had this meditation. Remember this. The world cannot and will not and does not compromise. They don't move from their position. That if you as a believer are waiting for the world to compromise so that they'll come partway and you can come partway so that you can walk together, I just have two words. Forget it. Forget it. That is not, they're not going to compromise. They're not going to leave this and this and this and this and this. And I could name them. And you know, you could name them. But let's leave those things unnamed. The point being that if, as a believer, you take up with a worldly Christian or the world, you are not compromising. Because compromise is where both sides come together. You are simply, for the time being unfaithful to the Word of God. You see what I mean? It's not compromise. We use it that way. Well, brother, you compromised by doing so and so. No, you didn't. Because the world didn't give in at all. But, oh, to have a companion. And so, there are decisions to be made. And her sister right down there, sitting beside Bill, Bill's wife, her father, told us a story. And some of us remember, if you do, I know you won't go. I remember the shock that when I first heard that. He never told who it was, thankfully. I don't need to know. There are things that we may have a right to know, but we don't have a need to know. And that's just a little aside, but it's important. Young people, dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. And you don't have to use a sword. You can simply, like the famous saying of today is, just say no. Just say no. Now, our time is slipping. The third one, in connection with continuance, let's turn to 2 Timothy, the third chapter. And I want to add this thought while we're turning to the third chapter of 2 Timothy. Young people, in connection with what I have in my heart from 2 Timothy 3, I'm not exhorting you to start. I'm exhorting you to continue. That's important. I don't want to embarrass the brother, so I won't mention his name, but years ago, he was a neighbor in the assembly. And he brought that to my heart. And he didn't know it, but it brought it to my conscience. He said, "Brother, when you speak to the young people, don't ask them to start something. Encourage them to continue." That's nice, isn't it? And that, I'm not just not being tactful, not just being a way that's the right thing to say. I mean it with all my heart. The 14th verse of the third chapter. "Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom," and that's plural, "knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, the young Christian of God, may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. I'm going to give you a little story. This is a true story. It has been suggested in our home assembly, in my home assembly of Denver, that possibly this fall or winter, some of us are going to meet in individual homes. And a brother that's here has already opened up his home. We're going to have Bible readings on the minor prophets. And I want to admit something to you. I'm looking forward to the contribution that brothers will make as we go through Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah. To be very, very candid, I'm excited. Spiritually excited, looking forward in meeting maybe Friday evening in Brother X's home, next Friday, Brother Y, Brother Z, and to be together in connection with sharing the Word of God. You say, there's a Bible class, and at present you're taking up 1 Samuel, and in the reading Thursday night you're taking up Matthew. Do you want another night where you take up something else? Sometimes we can hardly find the verse in the chapter where we're going to read next. Believe me, brethren, there's a brother here, and I won't embarrass him because I'm going to mention his father. Dear Ken Fournier, his father, some of us knew him in living in Seattle, that he had an expression. You can find time for what you want. That's pretty true. And I used to tell my children when they were young, just get mom on your side and we'll find as a family time to get such and such done. And so it is in our lives. If we have a desire to come together, what difference does it make that there's a reading meeting one night and they have Lord's Day? To think of the delight of being together. And I would suggest this, and our time is rapidly coming to a close, but one encouragement, young people. Seek by prayer some little niche in the vineyard of God. I'll suggest something. Write a letter to some shut-in. Write a letter to a friend overseas. Find a rest home with permission from the owner, from the manager, to go in and give Sunday school papers. Ken Fournier and Coyle go to a place where they're prisoners, and they don't appreciate the Sunday school papers. They say it's more for exactly what it is for children. But older folks enjoy the animal stories on the back, the simple stories of the gospel. Get permission and learn to go out to someone because you as a believer have so much to give. You say, you don't know me. I don't have anything. Oh, indeed. Those of us that used to prime a pump, you put a little bit in and oh, you get an awful lot out. And so as young people, the encouragement that you can bring to an older person just by giving them a little bit of your time. Now, there are hindrances to continuance. And we could get into the realm of being very negative, and you'd say, brother, you hit the nail on the head, or I didn't hit the nail on the head. So we're not going to. But I'm going to read, and I took it out of my Bible at the beginning, and I carry it with me, and I'd like to read a poem that I believe gives us a perspective in connection with what could be considered a hindrance in continuance. The heading of it is, What Have I to Do Any More with Idols? Hosea 14:8. Hast thou heard him, seen him, known him? Is not thine a captured heart? Chief among the thousands own him. Joyful choose the better part. Idols, once they won thee, charmed thee, lovely things of time and sense, gilded thus does sin disarm thee, honeyed, lest thou turn thee thence. What has stripped the seeming beauty from the idols of the earth? Not the sense of right or duty, but the sight of peerless worth. Not the crushing of those idols with the bitter void and smart, but the learning of His beauty, the unveiling of His heart. Who extinguisheth His taper till the hail... He hail the rising sun. Who discards the garb of winter till the summer has begun? 'Tis that look that melted Peter. 'Tis that face that Stephen saw. 'Tis that heart that wept with Mary can alone from idols draw. Draw and win and fill completely till the cup o'erflow the brim. What have we to do with idols who have accompanied with Him? Joy and peace in believing, companions of all them that fear the Lord, and continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Let's sing the first three verses of number 256. Lord, O keep us cleaving to thyself and still believing, till the hour of our receiving promised joys with thee. Then we shall be where we would be. Then we shall be what we should be. Things that are not now nor could be soon shall be our own. Last two verses of 256. Joy and peace in believing, companions of all them that fear thee. Continue thou in the things which thou hast heard and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Our God and Father, we